This is Jay Sekulow. Tough talk from the President of the United States and the Secretary of Defense caused North Korea to back down.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
If they fire at the United States, it could escalate into war very quickly. Yes, that's called war if they shoot at it. If they do that, then it's game on.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
We're happy that the rhetoric is starting to calm down, perhaps, from Kim Jong-un, at least pursuing at the moment his threats to fire missiles at Guam. Nobody wants any confrontation beyond the peace that we enjoy today on this resort destination.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, this is interesting, and I think this is very important. Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. So Kim Jong-un appears to be the one who backs down. This was after the President and Secretary of Defense Mattis issued very strong statements. In fact, let me play for you the statement that Secretary Mattis said yesterday, showing the nature of these threats coming from North Korea and what it would be met with. I think it's very important for you to understand. We'll also take your calls at 800-684-3110. This is a strong projection of military coming from the Secretary of Defense. It's a strong projection coming from the President of the United States of what our abilities are in a situation like this. And again, very strong words. Here they are.
If they fire at the United States, it could escalate into war very quickly. Yes, that's called war if they shoot at it. If they do that, then it's game on.
I mean, if they do that, it's game on. I mean, you really can't get any stronger than that. A reaction, of course, is people are pleased because this escalating rhetoric with Kim Jong-un was getting serious. This is their Liberation Day is today, when their liberation from Japan. And there was this expectation that because of this, there would in fact have been some type of another ICBM launch. They decided, at least as of right now, not to do that. And I think what you got clearly a clear message here was that when it comes to dealing with North Korea, the United States is projecting leading from the front, not the Obama administration's leading from behind. And as has already been said, the era of strategic patience with North Korea is over, and their rhetoric is met with not only rhetoric, but is met with determination from the President and the Secretary of Defense. What kind of reaction are we getting online? We are taking your calls at 800-684-3110. After the break, we'll be joined by two of our military experts.
Yeah, people are asking, do you think this is something we should take seriously? Do you think North Korea will still strike? That's from Lynn on Facebook. And so there,
look, I think you got to take North Korea seriously because they've been launching missiles into civilian airspace. They have launched missiles into the territorial waterways in the Sea of Japan. So I don't think we have the luxury of not taking them seriously. Having said that, the military capability of the United States is compared with North Korea. Let's face it, the U.S. is overwhelming force. We are concerned, as we've said before, what would play out with civilian casualties, especially in South Korea. We're going to war game some of that for you when we come back from the break. But also, I'll tell you this. There's a pattern to this with Kim Jong-un. So you had the sanctions coupled with strong language coming out of the President and the Secretary of Defense, and North Korea, at least for now, backs down. Have they done this before? Yes. But the idea of giving them money, which is what the Clinton administration did, to try to buy their friendship, clearly has not worked. And when we come back from the break, we will be joined by Colonel Wes Smith and Colonel Skip Ash to discuss this in details. We'll be taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We want people's comments on this. And again, this is clearly a big win for the Department of Defense and a big win for the United States, a big win for the President of the United States. Again, they're showing, you'll see pictures of Kim Jong-un with him as military leaders, but clearly they blinked. And that's good for the United States. That's good for our security. That's good, of course, for Guam, where they were threatening. They were threatening action near Guam, into Guam. That's a U.S. territory. We don't allow that. All right, we'll take calls and comments when we come back from the break.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today. Phone lines are open as we speak. You can also get your comments in online. It's at Facebook and Periscope and Twitter. That's at Jay Sekulow, Facebook.com/Jay Sekulow, and also on Twitter. You can find us there broadcasting, also on ACLJ.org.
Also, don't forget our matching challenge campaign, ACLJ.org. For that, any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for. That's ACLJ.org. And again, phone lines open, 800-684-3110.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal courts. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're talking about North Korea and Kim Jong-un's decision to not launch missiles on Liberation Day. He has appeared to blink first. North Korea media reporting Tuesday the dictator had delayed a decision about whether to fire missiles towards Guam, a pronouncement that came just hours after a particularly stark warning from Defense Secretary James Mattis, who promised further escalation would mean game on. I played that once already. I'm going to be playing it a lot today. Here's what James... Now, this is following up what the president said with fire and fury just a few days before. Here's what James Mattis said.
If they fire at the United States, it could escalate into war very quickly. Yes, that's called war if they shoot at it. If they do that, then it's game on.
All right, I'm joined in the studio here by Colonel Wes Smith and in our headquarters at Regent University School of Law, Colonel Skip Ash. Skip, let me go to you first here. Number one, I said this was a big win for the administration, a big win for the American people. How significant?
Oh, I think it's very significant because they backed down. They openly have backed down. The issue, though, is we have to remain vigilant because this is a tactic that is used repeatedly by the Kims over the course of their history, and we have to make sure that we are ready. The other thing is, the danger here is it gives them more time to continue developing, and if we don't take action at some point in time, we may be overwhelmed by another step forward that we had not anticipated.
What do you, Wes, you talked about, and I wrote it down, you said it's good, obviously
yes,
very big, that the Kims worry about self-preservation, and they also use strategic diversions, although you said this is obviously a very good sign for the United States.
Right, it is a win. And while Kim Jong-un is reactionary and he's uncivilized by any standard, he is also not stupid and he's not suicidal. And I think the threat of a U.S. attack on North Korea, combined with the fact that President Trump, you know, as far as Kim was concerned, he's not sure about what he might actually follow through with that threat.
Yep.
That combined with the United Nations sanctions and a unified front from the UN, I think is what changed his posture and what cooled his rhetoric. But as Skip alluded to, you have to ask ultimately what is his goal in this? What is he attempting to gain? And what he is attempting to gain is two things: to retain the nuclear weapons that he does have and to increase their capabilities. And that's where we have to be vigilant with sanctions and with the continued diplomatic pressure, because the stated goal yesterday in the Wall Street Journal by Secretary Mattis and Secretary Tillerson was not that we stop further production of nuclear weapons in North Korea. Their stated goal was the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, and that has not happened. And so going forward, this is a huge win.
Yep.
He did blink. He backed down. And I think the American military force and the willingness to use it is what caused that. But on the other hand, we cannot let up on the pressure we're putting on them to get rid of their weapons.
Very interesting comment that came out from Charles Krautheimer yesterday. Remember, last week, people got on the left got all upset when the president used the words fire and fury. They forget about our history in this country of presidents using language, strong language, to signal our enemies that we're serious and that we mean business and that we're prepared to take action to defend the United States and United States interests around the globe. Take a listen to what Dr. Krautheimer said.
People got all upset when Trump used the words fire and fury. They forget the fact that John Kennedy, President Eisenhower, and most of the Cold War presidents had a policy called massive retaliation, which meant if the Soviets attacked us, we were not going to be discreet and proportionate in our response. A massive retaliation was understood as code for we're going to obliterate Russian cities. Now, that wasn't a pleasant prospect, but it was that threat that actually kept the peace for 50 years.
So, Skip, the president employing language like that, Secretary Mattis clearly employing language like that. If you trace the Cold War history, that kind of language was our posture.
That's exactly right. And we have to remember the first Korean War was triggered because our State Department was too indirect and too nebulous on what the American interests were in Asia. And when they listed them all, they left out the Korean Peninsula, even though that remained one of our interests. And that encouraged the communists to attack the South. We have to be very careful. They understand the language of power. They understand the language of force. If you're being too nuanced, they can miss it completely.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of good comments came in. Matthew said, this is what a strong presidency and a strong foreign policy can accomplish. Chris also said, is Iran still ramping up its weapons
program? Yeah, so Iran, we were going to get to that later segment, but yes, Iran is threatening today to pull out Wes out of the Iran deal, which was never a deal in the first place. But they said that that news on that may come within hours.
Right, right. And not only are they pulling out of that, for the first time, they are deploying their warships into the Atlantic, so they will be off the coast of the United States. Iran is a real threat. And I think part of the fear and the vigilance that we need to be aware of going forward with North Korea is that if North Korea decides to sell either their ballistic technology or their nuclear technology to Iran, if they've not done that already or started that process, then the second and third order effects of allowing North Korea to remain a nuclear armed country are tremendous because Iran and North Korea are really allied. They share diplomacy, diplomatic relations. They share technology.
Russians are right in there with them. I mean, it's that whole Russia, Syria, so, Iran. I throw North Korea into that unholy alliance, too.
Right.
I mean, that's part of what's going on here. Let's go ahead and take a phone call. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. A lot of you are, of course, millions of you listening on radio. We encourage you always to tell your friends to get involved in the conversation. Facebook and Periscope, a lot of people on as well. We can encourage you to share this with your friends also.
Let's go start off with line one. Bob in California, you're on the air.
Hey, Bob, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I'm just proud to say that we got finally a president to stand up to these guys instead of throwing money at them to do more, you know.
Well, I mean, look, President Clinton's view was, you give them money, things will work out, there'll be this reset. President Trump didn't want to take their threats, and he was very clear about that. Got a lot of flack, as Charles Krautheimer said, but in the flack ended up being this language and messaging, I think, was very orchestrated in the right way. We were sending a message to our enemy. And, well, let's play back what the president said in this press gaggle just about a week ago.
North Korea best not make any more threats to the United States. They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. He has been very threatening beyond a normal statement. And as I said, they will be met with fire, fury, and frankly, power, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
And part of that, remember, was they had at that point, Wes, they had already placed an ICBM in a civilian air traffic corridor.
Right.
And they had landed an ICBM in the Sea of Japan within Japan's territorial waters.
Absolutely. They were acting out in dangerous and threatening ways. I smiled as you played that clip from the president, though, because you want to say after you hear that strong memo to follow.
Right.
I think Secretary Tillerson really nailed it whenever he was asked to respond concerning President Trump's threat of fire and fury. And he said, Kim Jong-un does not understand diplomatic language. Therefore, President Trump was speaking in a language that he would understand. And I think that is right on.
So, Skip, where do you see it? Right, I'm going to try to grab a call. We'll grab a call next one. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Where do you see it right now? I mean, obviously, this was good today. We don't have Guam under any kind of potential attack. But how do you see it?
Well, I think this is just playing for time on his part. Again, I think he wants to enhance his nuclear capability and their delivery systems. He realizes that he may have overstepped. And I wouldn't be surprised at all, given the recent trade issues between us and the Chinese, that the Chinese may have said, hey, you stand down. These people are getting serious, and we're not coming to your assistance if you attack them first, and you're on your own. And I think
and the Chinese did say that. I mean,
right. And I think that sends a complete message, assuming they mean it. That sends a message to the Koreans, because their only friend in the neighborhood is the Chinese.
You know, it's interesting also, Wes, because we're going to get into this later in the broadcast. Meanwhile, the president put a lot of pressure on the Chinese, which was important. But at the same time, you have the Chinese in their ability to take military technology of the United States. Mm-hmm. And they're known for copies and counterfeits. They're basically doing that with military hardware.
They really are. There are about 6 or 7 weapons platforms that are virtually identical to ours. They have a plane called the Y-20, which is a replica of our C-17. The F-35 fighter that we have, oh, that's their J-31 fighter. And the list goes on and on. About 6 or 7 weapons platforms that they have stolen the intellectual property, the technology.
And the president's putting pressure on them on that.
He absolutely is, and he needs to. And I think that actually, while China is denying it, that pressure from the president about trade and intellectual property also helped China get on board in standing against North Korea.
Yeah, and of course, also you had the unanimous UN sanctions. People forget that. Now, when the president comments, unanimous UN sanctions against North Korea, including Russia and China. I mean, they usually would veto something like that. They did not. So all of that, plus the language coming out, I think, send a very clear message. And that got Kim Jong-un, at least for now, to back down. All right, Logan, we'll take more calls and comments when we come back. A lot of people
on. Phone lines are jammed. You can get your comments installed on social media. It's on Facebook and Periscope. If you're watching online, get your comments in. You can also share this if you're watching it online. But if not, again, give us a call. Ask phone lines open up, 1-800-684-3110. You can experience the show many different ways online. ACLJ.org through the ACLJ app. Or you can find us again broadcasting on social media.
And don't forget, we are midway through the month of August in our matching challenge campaign. That means anything you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org for that. That's ACLJ.org. It makes a huge difference, especially with the month of August. It's a very important month for us from our raising our budgets for the ACLJ. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, little Jay Sekulow Band, Midnight Rider, a tribute to my Macon, Georgia heritage. Went to law school in Macon. So there you go. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. If you like the music, by the way, you go to Jay Sekulow Band web Facebook page and you get it there. I think we should go right to a phone call. Although, let's ask that question again. People were saying, you know, was this a stall tactic?
Yeah, I think a lot of people were curious whether this is just, you can't really trust anything they say. So
right.
When you just throw it out there, is that not something we should be just taking on face value?
Yeah, because their state news skip issued the statement, right? So that means Kim Jong-un's state media said, we're not going to attack Guam. I mean, that doesn't mean we lower our guard, but it was, I think, a sense it was a retreat for them, realizing, as you said during the break, kind of reading the tea leaves here.
Well, that's right. I think, you know, at some point in time, he realizes that he's not getting what he wants, and I'm sure he's gotten input, especially from the Chinese, saying, okay, you better back off here because they're serious. Nonetheless, having done that, he's going to say that we're reasonable and we're giving them a chance to back down. So that's how he'll characterize it to his own people. And he'll also use this as an opportunity to enhance his capabilities quietly below the horizon and wait for the next opportunity to pop back up.
Yeah, Skip's exactly right. This is why I call it a win, but also a strategic diversion on the part of Kim Jong-un. They are masters at this. He is not a stupid man. And both Kim Jong-un, his father and his grandfather have used this ploy, these same tactics over and over,
yeah,
to increase, you know, their capabilities and to gain nuclear weapons. And so it's a win. But on the other hand, you have to ask, what is he really doing here? All he has done, Jay, he's agreed not to attack Guam.
He
hasn't given up the first ICBM,
right,
or the first nuclear weapon. He has not agreed.
The immediate threat has been removed, but their constant threat is not. But again, I think it's a good checkmate for the president. But again, you're right. I mean, so they agreed not to attack Guam, because if they attack Guam, you heard what General Mattis said it was going to be.
Yeah.
Game on.
And he's not suicidal.
No. So let's go ahead and take a phone call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Joe in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, on line 4. He's actually a Periscope viewer. Thanks, Joe. You're on the air.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Jay. Huge fan.
Thanks.
We see North Korea blinking their eyes,
yep,
or, you know, whatever. So that's cool. But then we have Iran, and we don't really hear anything about Iran. I don't know if there's anything going on in the background that, you know, we're not able to.
Well, no, there's a couple of stories on Iran, Joe, that are significant that we were going to get to in the next half hour of the broadcast, but you raised it. I'll bring it up. Number one, Iran is reported to deploy its Navy to the Atlantic Ocean, which means it would put them off the east coast of the United States. They've never done that before. Iran is also a $500 million investment in war spending. So you've been covering this or reviewing this, Colonel Smith, pretty regularly. What's the sense on that? Also, Iran announced this morning that later today it may actually formally withdraw from the so-called nuclear agreement drawn off and last year and championed by President Obama. That wouldn't be any great shock to me, because I said there never was an agreement to begin with. But if they were to take the affirmative step of saying we're out, that would say something.
Right, right. It would. And for us, it might be like, you know, Burr Rabbit, please don't throw me in the briar patch,
because
you know, we really don't think it's a good agreement anyway. But Iran, yeah, they are building up their military. Keep in mind, Jay, that they're flush with cash because we gave them a ton of it last year.
$1.5
billion. Yes. And so just yesterday, the Iran parliament gave $260 million to the Revolutionary Guard Corps, which is their elite,
right,
military unit. They gave another $240 million to their ballistic missile program. One of the things that actually came out in the news today, it's not getting much coverage, is that there's a committee at the United Nations that has now found and said that Iran is in violation of the UN sanctions on their ballistic missile program, something that the United Nations has not said before, even though we all know that Iran has routinely violated,
yep,
that combined with their alliance with North Korea and Russia,
yep,
Iran is a serious threat.
Iran is certainly a threat to Israel. We know that, and Middle East stability, not just Israel, but to the Gulf region generally. And that's why you have these new alliances going on, Skip, between the Israelis, the Egyptians, the Jordanians, even the Saudis, because of the threat from Shia Iran. How do you see the Iran? There is an Iran-North Korean connection as well, as far as technology sharing. How do you see that playing?
Well, I think that as these nations become more and more isolated, they're going to draw closer together, especially the Koreans. The Koreans have technology that the Iranians want. They want access to that. They want access to all those things. And they have oil and resources that the Koreans need, the North Koreans need. So I think it's going to draw closer and closer together. I would also look at what happens in the Persian Gulf. The way that the Persians are playing footsie with the U.S. Navy is a way of distracting us from the fact that we have another problem in Korea. So we have, they're creating a potential of two simultaneous problems.
Yep.
And they're going to try to stretch the U.S. military from being able to handle both of those at the same time.
All right, let's do this. Let's take another call before the break. Phone lines are open at 800-684-3110. I'd sure like to get another call in, Logan, if we can.
Let's go to William in Montgomery, Alabama, on line three.
Hi, William. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I was just I wanted to speak to possibly how much this administration awareness of possible ICBM capabilities that North Korea has outside of the nukes that they also have.
I think General Mattis and the State Department and our Department of Defense under Tillerson under State, Mattis under the Secretary of Defense, and then, of course, you've got the Joint Chiefs. I mean, there's no question, we've talked about this before, that game planning with regard to North Korea, Wes, has been ongoing for 50
always,
years
always.
And still is being evaluated
right.
As we're sitting here today.
Right, and lately it has been very, very refined, but their plans are always in place. Also, you have to keep in mind that as far as the ICBM threat, we have ground-based missile interceptors in Alaska and California. They're not foolproof, but they work. And then in the Western Pacific, we have one large carrier strike group, the Reagan, and two smaller ones.
Yep.
And those carrier strike groups carry anti-missile weapons on board. They have missile defense, as well as the THAAD missile systems, which are in Guam. And now two of them have been installed in South Korea. Two more are going to be installed. So our ability to counter ballistic missiles is better than anybody else's in the world.
Let me play for you General Joseph Dunford, chairman of the Joint Chiefs. He was in Korea, may still be there. He was there.
China today.
Yeah,
sir.
China
today,
but he was in Korea yesterday and the day before. He was asked a question. Here it is.
Do we have the capability to defend the peninsula? Do we have the capability to defend Guam, Hawaii, and the United States? The answer is yes, we do.
Now and into the future.
Now and into the future. Again, based on the projection of capacity we have, we will make adjustments to our force posture, and we'll make our adjustments to our capabilities based on the threat as it emerges. But we're clearly watching that very closely, and our posture here in the theater and our capability development back at home is based on our projections of the threat.
So, Skip, very quickly here, we're going to a break. That's an ongoing assessment that's done by the military.
Absolutely. You look at what the threat is, the threat evolves, so our response has to always be evolving and to meet that threat, and that's what the military does on a routine basis.
That's exactly right. All right, we're here for another 30 minutes. Now, most of the stations are now carrying the full hour of the broadcast, but if yours isn't, there's a lot of ways you can get the broadcast.
Or if you just want to switch it up, you can try us online. We're broadcasting live right now, video and audio. You get to see us like a TV show. It's very nice. You can find us on ACLJ.org, Facebook.com/JaySekulow, Periscope, Twitter, @JaySekulow. You can find us broadcasting in all those outlets, as well as on the ACLJ app, where you can get the audio feed. You can also sign up for the JaySekulow Live podcast. Subscribe now. But again, that app, it's available. Just search ACLJ in the App Store. That's on iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. You can also find the ACLJ channel in the channel store on Roku. So you can find us all those places. But again, we're back for a second half hour of JaySekulow Live, so make sure to keep listening. We'll be right back.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Jay Sekulow Band's rendition of the great Allman Brothers tune, Midnight Rider. May play that during one of the breaks. Just a little bonus today. We're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110. So Kim Jong-un appears that definitely he blinked first with the North Korean media reporting that the dictator had delayed a decision about whether to fire missiles towards our Guam, which is part of the United States, the territory of the United States. The pronouncement came hours after a very stark warning from James Mattis, who said if they took this kind of action, it would be game on militarily. And I think, again, I want to kind of reset it for everybody, so I'm going to go to our military experts, Colonel Wes Smith and Colonel Skip Ash. Skip, let me go to you first, then we'll go to Wes. In summary here, what has happened? We know that they're saying, you know, of course, you don't trust them, and I know our military is not just trusting them, but what has happened here, and what does this mean?
Well, I think what's happened is someone has come to his senses, and that's probably Kim Jong-un himself, finally realizing that he may have overstepped it. When he gets that strong a response back from not only the Secretary of Defense, but the Secretary of State, the President of the United States, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, then all of them are speaking with one voice. They're in the region. They're focused on the region that we are serious about what we're going to do. And I'm sure that the Chinese have also told him that, and we know that for sure, that they said, if you attack the United States, you're on your own. We're not going to come in to defend you. And I think what's happened is he is characterizing this to his own people as being the reasonable one, that he's backed us off. But in reality, he cannot back us off if we don't want to be backed off, and we could annihilate him should we choose to do so. And I think he's finally realized what we have and the will to use it is different than the previous administration.
So let me ask you this, Wes. So I've in framing this, I think this was a win for U.S. diplomacy.
Yes.
It was a win for U.S. military.
Right.
It was a win for the messaging that went out not only from the president, but from the Secretary of State, from the Secretary of Defense. There was multi-messages going out, I think very consistent.
Mm-hmm.
As I think it was Mattis who said, the president's not talking. It may have been Secretary Tillerson. The president doesn't have to talk in diplomatic speaking dealing with the leader of North Korea because he doesn't respond there. But there was multiple levels plus pressure put on China and Russia.
Right.
So
right.
All of this together collectively ends up with, at least for now, him backing down.
Yeah, all of these things came together. And, you know, and for all of his faults and the evil that Kim Jong-un is, as I said earlier, he's not suicidal. He's not stupid. And I think for the first time in several years, he realized that the threat of U.S. military force was more than a threat, that if he stepped out of line, it was going to become a real reality for him, a stark reality. And I think that combined with the United Nations sanctions and China, saying to them, hey, we're not buying oil and iron ore and other things from you.
Yep.
All of these things working together made him back away. This does not mean that he has changed his ambitions.
Correct. He hasn't reduced one ICBM, as you
no,
said.
No, or just one nuclear bomb. He is still out to do harm to the world, to be a threat to the region and to the world. He hates the United States. None of that has changed. So this is a calculated strategic move on his part that is a win, a big
yep.
win for the United States. But it's still, as I said earlier, a strategic diversion of sorts because he has not changed who he is.
Yep. All right, we're going to take more of your calls and comments when we come back from the break. We encourage you to keep calling. Logan, we don't have time for a call. Do we have time for a comment?
Even think we have time for a comment. All these questions are pretty in-depth, so we'll get some of those during the break. We also have exclusive videos coming up in the break. Here's a quick one maybe we can lead into. Holly said, how much warning would we have?
If they were to do an attack, if they were to do something in Guam, how much warning would we have?
About 21 minutes. So 18 to 21 minutes.
Enough to take it down?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But you got to be prepared to do that. I mean, and that's part of what this is. Skip, are we prepared to take it down if we had to?
I'm sure everybody is alert and in that area right now.
All right. So there you go. That's given to you from our two military experts who both have served in Korea. So they know this area well. We'll be back with your calls and comments in just a moment. Remember, the phone line is 1-800-684-3110. And don't forget our matching challenge campaign at aclj.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for aclj.org. We'll be back with more in a moment.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Everyone taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go right to our phones. People have been holding. We're talking about the fact that North Korea said they are not going to take action against Guam, which is good because we would have responded with a significant military force. The words of James Mattis, game would be on. So that's about as clear as you can get. We are taking your calls and comments. You want to go to a call or comment
first? Let's go to Paula in California. You're on the air on line 6.
Hi, Paula.
Hi.
Hey.
First of all, I want to say... all of you gentlemen on the air are so intelligent and so well-spoken. It's a long time coming.
I appreciate that.
And, Jay, Maya and my husband have been watching you for years and years. And so proud of your son, Jordan.
He'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow? No,
Thursday.
Yep, he's out for a few days. Logan is always here. You never
okay.
Not here. Yes, go ahead.
Listen, I think President Trump, all of the generals, everything is doing, all of you are doing everything right with Korea. I have seen them years and years and years and years. And every time they get a real serious threat, they back down.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. Historically, Wes, that was one thing we talked about before we went on the air. The exact phrase you used was strategic divergence, but they have this desire of self-preservation, and you could trace this model of them threatening to do something than not doing it almost for 40 or 50 years.
Right. They make outrageous threats, you know, to mainly against the United States and South Korea. And then when they back off from these threats, it's almost like they expect to be rewarded for backing off from something that was immoral and illegal and violent to begin with.
And so we have to be vigilant. This does not take away from the fact that this is a big win diplomatically and strategically, militarily. But at the same time, the question is, what comes next?
Let me ask that to Skip. I mean, with a guy like Kim Jong-un and that regime, what does come next? I mean, if you're in the military right now, or you're advising the president, what would you say?
Right now, I would say we need to have our readiness raised in that level all throughout the Pacific. We need to have a show of force that's continuous, and we need to be continue to deliver a consistent message, and that is that the track that they are following in North Korea is the wrong track and that we are not going to tolerate it. We also need to, at the same time, bring more pressure on Russia and on China to support turning around their ally there. And I think the president's doing that with this trade business and looking at some of the things that the Chinese have been doing for the past decades.
Yep.
But at the same time, what we need to do is say, we are serious now, and we expect you to get on board, or you're going to be paying a price when things happen, because that's in the same neighborhood. If we have to go to war in North Korea, it's going to affect the entire region.
All right, let's go ahead and take some more calls. 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. We'll try to clear a few lines up so we can open it for the last segment here.
Yeah, okay, let's go to Wendy in Massachusetts online, too. You're on the
air. Hi, Wendy, go ahead.
Yes, hi, Jay. I got a question. I could be wrong, so correct me, but I thought that President Clinton had given some of that technology or sold it to China back in the 90s. I don't think it was all stolen. Am I wrong about that?
I don't recall a sale of it, military intelligence. I can't imagine going from the United States to China. Wes, you don't recall that at all?
No, not at all.
And you were in service then. Skip, what about you?
I don't recall that either. I was in the Pentagon when he was the president, and I don't recall any of that happening. There were talks about it. The Chinese were asking for certain things on the periphery, which had a dual use, civilian and military.
Yeah.
And some of that was approved over the objections of the Pentagon.
So that's what it could be that you're talking about. In other words, there was dual use technology, and there was some given or sold to the Chinese, despite, as Skip just said, Pentagon objections. And Skip served, it was in the Pentagon then, so he would have been fully aware of this. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Do we want to take a call or comment?
This is a question from Raymond we can answer. Is North Korea working with Russia?
Ah, yes. So this is the great question of the bear in the north. Is Russia working with China, Wes?
Russia and China are both,
or North Korea,
right,
as well.
Absolutely. And they have since the armistice was signed in 1953. Russia and China support Korea diplomatically, with technology, with trade, with fuel, lots of things. That these sanctions from the UN last week are supposed to curb those and actually do away with them. But Russia has been a supporter of North Korea, mainly because they know that it bothers the United States and is a threat to us.
You know, it's interesting because I thought the move, Skip, at the UN, with the unanimous resolution out of the Security Council, was very significant to have the Russians and the Chinese on board with these increased sanctions.
It is very significant if the people are serious. If they're not serious, and very often we deal with the UN all the time, very often they vote for something and they're no more serious than flying. You know, they just vote for it because it has some propaganda value. In this case, it sent a very distinct message from past votes, and therefore it should have sent a message to the North Koreans, unless under the table they were receiving a different message from the Russians and or the Chinese.
Yeah. All right, we're taking your calls, 800-684-3110. Let's take, we can grab another one. It'll clear some lines. I want to try to clear some lines out.
All right, let's go to Celia in New York City online.
Hi, Celia.
Hello, yes. I am furious and shocked that there was no recourse against Obama for having given the Iranians $4.5 billion.
It was only $1.5 billion, but it may have been, it's more money than that in aid release. Yes, you're right.
It's real money.
It's real money. Look, I mean, the fact is Republicans voted for that too. I mean, that's just, not many, but enough did to get it passed. And now they're threatening this afternoon, Wes, or this evening, they may pull out of it.
Yes, they are saying that. We did not help ourselves.
It's evening over there already.
Yes, it is.
But not too late.
Right.
Yep.
But, yeah, that was a blunder on the part of Congress and President Obama. And I think we are living to regret it, because they are now appropriating hundreds of millions of dollars into their military. That's what is going to pay for their fleet going into the Atlantic.
I mean, fleet going into the Atlantic. I mean, think about that. The Iranians are sending ships to off the shore of the United States of America.
They've been bothering us in the Persian Gulf.
Yes, we've had that whole
Straits of Hormuz. You know, this gives them the opportunity to bother us and to do unsafe practices against our Navy vessels even closer to home. And all of this costs money, and we gave them the money to do
that. That is part of the problem here. So we did give them the money to do it. And then we know that they've been agitating our naval operations in the Persian Gulf and that region, the Strait of Hormuz. But now it goes a step further when they send them off the coast of the United States, if they do that.
Well, that's correct, but you know, the thing that gets me about the agreement was that it was so front-loaded in money to the Iranians that we got nothing until the end, and then we're sitting here, and I'm not sure even if we wait to the end we get much, but the idea was rather than have tit-for-tat in it and have money doled out based on their continual adherence to the treaty, we front-loaded it. They got everything they wanted. So if they break the treaty now, they got everything and we got nothing.
And exactly, that's exactly right, Jay. And think about it. The treaty, part of what it did, it kept them from pursuing a nuclear weapon for 10 years. If they withdraw, they can start pursuing a nuclear weapon immediately, like they have done in the past.
Like they're probably doing now.
But this gives them the liberty to legally pursue it.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a horrible deal.
And I think North Korea will help them.
Terrible deal. All right, do we have a comment or call?
Well, the comments, a lot more. Do you think the sanctions will help? But I think you answered that.
Yeah, I think the sanctions are not going to help. I think the sanctions on the Iranians are not helping. I think they're trying to develop nuclear weapons right now. But that their modus operandi is to ignore completely any kind of international agreements. And by the way, there's not a written agreement here. But that's just been their trend and their policies. They flaunted often the whole idea that they're accountable to anybody on the world stage. They just don't believe it. But again, look, it's a theocracy. It's a theocracy that believes that the Ayatollah is the supreme leader, and what the supreme leader says goes. So Rouhani, the president, is almost a mere functionary in that sense. But he's the one that's threatening the pullout of the whole situation with the sanctions and sanction relief and. Again, we gave them, as Skip said, $1.5 billion at the start, which allows them to not only fund Hamas and Hezbollah, but also allows them to get their Navy out of its ports and into the Atlantic. Now, how close they get to the Atlantic or to our shores, we'll see. But look, there's a lot of hotspots around the world right now. There's no doubt about that. All right, we're going to be here for the last segment of the broadcast. We want to encourage you to call with questions you might have at 1-800-684-3110. I don't think I can grab a call in a minute. I know I can't.
I don't think so, but phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We'll also take some comments as well, and some those comments during the break and during the show. But again, this is your chance. If you want your voice heard, give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110.
Don't forget also, we're in our mid-month through our matching challenge campaign. Hard to believe that August is halfway over, but it is. And your support for the ACLJ makes a huge difference. So I encourage you to go over to the website, aclj.org. If you get our emails, encourage you to respond to those. And any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we get a matching gift for. Let me also say this, Logan, there's a lot of ways for people to engage on Facebook, social media, all of our platforms. They need to really do it.
That's right. Absolutely. You can find everything on aclj.org. You can find the links to everything, where you can listen, where you can watch, everything you can find right there on aclj.org. Sign the latest petitions, donate to the organization. So it's a great hub for everything, but you can also find us directly on social media. Like I said, Facebook, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow, at Logan Sekulow, at ACLJ. You can find us broadcasting online on all those social outlets. And obviously, you can subscribe to the podcast and so many more ways to get us.
All right, back with more, including your calls in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're successfully challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. And we're defending Israel at the United Nations. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. Now you can play a vital role in supporting the work of the ACLJ. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We've got a lot of calls that have come in on North Korea, so we're going to try to get to as many of these as we can. We got our military experts, Colonel Ash and Colonel Smith, with us. Colonel Smith is right here with us in our media center, and Colonel Ash is in our offices at the campus of Regent University. And I think we're going to get him a video thing at some point. We got to do that for those that are watching on TV and Facebook and Periscope.
All right, enough.
Yeah, let's go. We got a lot of folks.
Nick in New Jersey, you're on the air on line 3. Nick, welcome.
Hi, Nick. Go ahead.
You know, on that Iranian deal, you said Congress okayed it. Was that run by the Democrats or the Republican Party at control of that? And can Trump?
Democrats were in control, but it took Republicans voted for it. I mean, were the Democrats in control at that point in 2015?
No.
So it took Republican support. There you have it. Bipartisan disaster, in my view. On that one. That's all I'll say about that. All right, right back to the phones or comments. Either one, Logan.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go to Carol, who's calling in Missouri on line 1. You're on the air.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Actually, I am not very learned or smart in politics, but I do work for the Department of Mental Health.
I thought you were telling me, but you do work for the Department of Defense. And that would have had me a lot more concerned. But we'll take the Department of Health and you're not politically involved. That's okay, as long as it wasn't the Department of Defense or the Secretary of State. But go ahead, Carol.
Well, my question is, what if this little North Korean man is mentally ill?
Well, they're not a stable. Look, it's not a stable regime. They believe their deity. I mean, we talked about that last week on the broadcast, but they actually believe the family, and the populace believes this too, or a lot of the populace believes this, that they are a deity.
Right. And he is erratic. He can be very, very reactionary. I don't think he's insane. I don't think he's stupid. He is a threat to that region, to the United States, and to the world, but he's shrewd. And he came into that position. He eliminated all of his political enemies and established, you know, the military so that it's stronger than ever before. Yeah. He is not a good person, but he's not mentally ill. And to answer her question, you can't remove a sovereign leader of a nation through the United Nations because they are mentally ill. I wish we could.
Yeah.
There'd be a number of them.
This, you know, you followed this family for a long time because you were stationed there in the 80s. I mean, what's your sense?
Oh, I think they're very shrewd. I think they have built a system that will keep them in power indefinitely. They kowtow to a bureaucracy and they kowtow to the military. Mm-hmm. They give them what they need to continue the support. So they're in for the long term unless they do something that really threatens the status of the military. If they do something that threatens the status of the military, then all bets are off.
Yep. All right, let's go ahead, and we're taking more calls at 800-684-3110.
Yes, Suzanne's calling in South Dakota on line 6.
Hi, Suzanne. You're on the air.
Hello. What I would like to know is, do you happen to have any statistics of under the Obama administration how much the military was depleted at that time, and under President Trump, how much has it increased?
Well, military spending has increased dramatically under proposals from President Trump. under President Obama. Look, it was a de-escalation of the military. You had the whole situation. I lived for years. Skip does, still does, in Norfolk, Virginia Beach area, which is one of the largest naval installations in the world. And we saw firsthand under the Obama administration how that they decapitated and they really strangled the military as far as spending goes. Naval airmen could not get their aircraft up in the air. You had ships that couldn't get out of port. I mean, it was a serious situation, and they had the BRAC Commission going on. Right. So there was a lot of de-escalation of spending. I don't have this exact statistic, but it's been a significant de-escalation.
Oh, absolutely. It has really hurt the military. And while the Congress and President Trump have declared they're going to build the military back, and they are, it's going to take a while because over the 8 years that President Obama was in office, we lost a lot of our dollars for training, for equipment. And I think it was over 20% reduction in that 8 year period of the national defense budget. And it takes a while to recover from that.
Yeah. I mean, Skip, how is it now? I mean, you're in Virginia Beach, Virginia, which is a major military hub. How are things now?
Oh, I think the morale's a lot higher. And I think the fact that money's beginning to pour back in is going to make a difference. But as Wes said, it takes a while to recover from those types of things. And remember that we've been fighting wars during this entire time. As you're cutting a budget while the need for the military is going up because of deployment, because of fighting, because of losses of equipment and battle and so forth, you've got increased costs that way, which means you have to cut it elsewhere, and they're cutting it in the training budget.
Yeah, so we also had the Army was at its lowest ebb of manpower during the last administration since 1940, pre-World War II.
I mean, right. And the plan under President Obama was to take it even lower, down to 417,000, and unfortunately, that's being reversed as well.
Yeah. All right, Logan, you want to grab a call or comment?
Let's see. Here's a comment said, are we shooting down the test missiles? If not, why?
Well, we talked about this last week. We've not done it yet. I mean, we haven't done it yet.
We have the capability of doing it.
Think that's one of the strategies, by the way, that should be implemented, is to start. If they send up another missile into civilian airspace or into the Sea of Japan inside Japanese territorial waters, we should try to take that down.
Yeah, and I think
that's not an act of. But let me ask Skip this. That's not an act of war at that point, right?
They're firing. If they're firing in and we're protecting, for instance, civilian lanes for aircraft, that's a prudence. They may think it's an act of war, but it should not be considered an act of war.
Right.
The other thing is, though, we
under
have to
international
recognize,
law would not be an act of war. Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing we have to remember, though, is when they fire into airspace beyond their own, if it's not owned by any other country, they're allowed to do that. I mean, it's the high seas and the land, the air above the high seas belongs to no one. So they have the right, as anybody else has the right, to do that, but they have to be very careful about overflying another nation or going into recognized routes.
All right.
Let's take another call.
Yep, probably last call of the day. Let's go to Heather in Arkansas on line 5.
Hi, Heather. You're on the air.
Heather, you there?
Well, nope, we're not.
So it's not there. Maybe put her on hold, just double check. But that will probably do it for a call today. But we'll take a listen to Heather, see if she's there.
Okay, so here's what I want to find out. Well, they'll let us know if Heather's can be on. But I want to ask this to Skip and Wes. I'll go to Wes first. Because her question was, what would happen if North Korea tried to attack us? And I think James Mattis answered that.
He absolutely did. If there was any doubt, and I had certainly had no doubt, because the right of self-defense is inherent with all nations, but Jim Mattis made it very clear yesterday that it would be game on and that we would launch a devastating counterattack.
So, Skip, the rhetoric, the language, the messaging from the president, from the secretary of state, from the secretary of defense, all had the desired results here.
I think so. And I think the will of the President of the United States is the key to this. We have the capability. What we lacked in the past under Obama and others was the will to follow through, and this president has the will, and that combination of capability and will is what backed him down.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today on North Korea's Liberation Day, and they did not liberate one of their weapons, which is good for the United States, good for our partners in the region. And good for stability. But again, you got to stay on guard here because you can't trust this regime, not even for a moment. But I'm glad we were able to give you some really expert analysis from members of the military that served in the region. And our lawyers here, including me, have done a lot on the international law of war, the law of war, the law of armed conflict. As I said, I've appeared before the International Criminal Court, the Hague's Office of the Prosecutor, on one of those issues. Not many people have. but we did, and on defense of Israel. So, again, these are big issues, and we're following closely. That'll do it for the broadcast.
That's going to do it. Give us a call tomorrow. Listen to the show tomorrow. You can find this broadcasting everywhere you can. You get it archived on the ACLJ app and the JSeculo podcast and on our social media. You can find that at facebook.com/JSeculo or Twitter at JSeculo. Talk to you tomorrow.
The work of the American Center for Law and Justice is now more important than ever, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255, or you can participate online at aclj.org. Thank you very much for your support.